It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for. Sandy Rios with you this morning. I want to remind you of two things before we get into content today. Today is the rally, you would call it, at the Emancipation Monument for Abraham Lincoln. It's this morning at 11 o'clock. It's sponsored by Star Parker and Urban Cure, and I am encouraging any of you who are in the D.C. area, in Virginia, in Maryland, any of those areas around there to stop everything and go. Because we want to show to the world that we do not want a statue of Abraham Lincoln removed, plus the slave, Archer Alexander, who's been freed. It's an incredible statue, and Star has organized an incredible event this morning. It'll be from 11 to 1, and I'm just hoping and praying that you will show up in droves. Will you do that? Will you just go? I mean, it will help you also to do something. And I think you'll find it very encouraging, just like I did that July 3rd celebration at Mount Rushmore. It was encouraging to be with people who love this country and are willing to fight. Are you one of those people? Then go this morning at 11 o'clock. It's going to be at Lincoln Park, and that is at 12th and Capitol in Washington. Also, if you can go to your urbancure.org/freedmenpetition, and sign their petition. That would be an excellent, wonderful, encouraging thing for you to do in defense of the nation's monuments and especially, you know, the whole business of Abraham Lincoln freeing the slaves. And the other important announcement I want to remind you of this morning is the election in Alabama. It's the election between Jeff Sessions, who's running for Senate, and Tommy Tuberville, who's also running for Senate. You know, the president has endorsed Coach Tuberville. But we had Senator Sessions on recently to talk about his experience comparing it to Tommy Tuberville's. He's concerned that Tuberville does not know the issues. And I guess it was interesting. I just saw a report on Tuberville that he has not voted in, like, he did not vote in the last presidential election. He's not voted in many, many years. In fact, he was removed from the voter rolls in Indiana because he has not voted. Now, I want you to know, I've asked Coach Tuberville to join us on this show, but he hasn't done that. That's just what I know, and I want you to know there's an election today, and I hope that those of you in Alabama will go out and make your choice about who would be best for your state. So that's very important. Okay, so last night, tragically, another policeman was killed in Washington State. It comes on the wings of so many being killed. Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick of Texas was on Fox, I believe, over the weekend, and I want you to hear what he had to say about two policemen that were murdered, shot point blank in the face when they answered a domestic call. It was an ambush. It's that in part, but he lays out what's happening with our police. Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, let's listen.
These people are just plain out idiotic, Sandra. They send social workers out there. They're going to get social workers killed. And as the chief of police in Seattle said earlier this morning, when you cut back their funding of police out there, it puts the other officers in harm's way. What kind of support do the Democrats want to give to law enforcement in this country? It's none. Let me give you some stats, Sandra, because I'm so angry about what's happening to our police. They're not robocops. They're real people, husbands and wives, sons and daughters, mothers and fathers. We've had 29 killed by gunfire since January of this year. We've had 11 killed since George Floyd was killed that day in Minneapolis, which we all know should never have happened. We've had 154 other officers shot this year. Since 2015, Sandra, 550 officers have been killed in the line of duty in this country, and 717 have committed suicide. We're not going to have any police left, Sandra. America better wake up. And while they didn't start this fire, Joe Biden and the Democrats are aiding and abetting this. This was a lowlife piece of trash that when these police officers showed up at his door, he shot them multiple times in the face and the head. They never had a chance to grab their weapon. They came in peace. And I'm so tired of this mob and these people on Facebook and Twitter attacking our police. I proudly wear our state trooper shirt today. And Savannah Garza, the daughter, Savannah Chavez, excuse me, the daughter of Officer Chavez, she went on and gave this eloquent, broken-hearted plea on Twitter about her dad who was killed. And these scumbags on Twitter attacked her because she said Blue Lives Matter. I'm angry, and America better wake up and get angry about this, or we're not going to have any more police.
All right, it's not that's Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick. Interesting, Sandra pushed back to him, and I didn't even keep that part where she talked about how, yeah, but Black Lives Matter, they represent a lot more, and he's trying to tell her, no, read their manifesto. I was shocked that she was so ignorant. I really was, and that's why right now, even Fox is not trustworthy on these issues. I love Lieutenant Governor Patrick's passion on that. That was not even all that he said. In the last few days, a young mother, 24 years old, was shot in Indianapolis because she and her fiancé, I think they were with some other people, got into an argument with the Black Lives Matter crowd. And she simply said, her name is Dottie Whitaker, 24 years old. She simply said, all lives matter. They were shouting Black Lives Matter. She said, all lives matter. And when they walked under a bridge, they shot her and they killed her. Yeah, meanwhile, in Columbus, Ohio, I think it was Columbus, I saw a group of Black Lives Matter protesters. And they're not all black, you know. Of course, Black Lives Matter is not about being black. It's about radically transforming this country and a Marxist takeover. That's what it's about. It's an international organization. If you haven't heard that, please look up their manifesto so that you can be informed. This is not about the sacredness of black lives, which is a positive truth. And all lives do matter. And God does not care about our color. Didn't Martin Luther King say that? Didn't Jesus say that? So Black Lives Matter is a ruse. It's a ruse, a dangerous ruse. So meanwhile, in Columbus, I saw yesterday a video of a group of thugs, Black Lives Matter thugs, attacking this car going through, you know, they were surrounding him. He got whatever he tried to back up and hit one of the bicycles of one of the so-called protesters. He didn't injure them. It was a bump. So then they jump on the car and they open the trunk and they dump everything out and they try to destroy it. They shake it. They break the windshield. It turns out the guy has cerebral palsy. And he had just gone out to buy flowers and something for a friend and they took the flowers and dumped them on. It was horrific. That was in Columbus, Ohio. This is what we're dealing with. This is what we're dealing with. Meanwhile, if you saw it in New York City, there was a policeman whose head was he was placed in a headlock as the crowd cheered and jeered and mocked him, calling him names I cannot say, but just complete derision and mockery. And that's because he cannot. The point that policemen are making that watch that video is that a policeman who's put in a headlock like that cannot, his weapon is then not safe. It's very, very dangerous. And yet the rules that have been put into motion by the governor and the mayor of New York City are just appalling. He's out painting on the street Black Lives Matter in front of Trump Tower. That's his volunteer. He's also allowing Black Lives Matter to protest while other people cannot meet because of COVID, of course, because of COVID. And then there's the couple in St. Louis who had their property invaded by 300 to 500 Black Lives Matter protesters. He and his wife had to go in inside and get their guns and try to protect themselves. A few days later, the same crowd came back. They had trouble finding security to secure their house. In fact, I should let Mr. McCloskey tell the story. Let's listen to clip 11.
It was shocking. I mean, the gate came in. Seemingly, everybody in the world came forward. Literally, I think the estimate is 300 to 500 people. Came right towards us. We were preparing to have dinner on the porch, and we were literally maybe 70 feet from the gate. By the time we got our guns, by the time I got my gun, the crowd was maybe 30 or 40 feet from us. People were screaming everything.
That they were going to kill us. They were going to come in there. They were going to burn down the house. They were going to be living in our house after I was dead. And they pointed to different rooms and said, that's going to be my bedroom. And that's going to be the living room. And I'm going to be taking a shower in that room. And then the dog barked. I mean, they there were so many threats. And then the dog barked and they said, and I'm going to be killing her too, or it too.
It was posted on the web, Sean. It was no mystery. It was going to happen. Wow. And by the way, if you look, the group that actually sponsors this is an entity called Expect Us. If you look on their Facebook page, the advertisement for this riot says we're going to march on the mayor's house and a special surprise, something extra. That something extra was us. But here, we got a tip that the people were coming back, and they were coming back specifically for us, and to get us and to burn the house. And so we started trying to get private security. We'd been told that the city police had been ordered to stand down. We'd been told that there was going to be no official help. Our neighborhood association put out a flyer saying that the people broke in, they were just going to let them. And so we started trying to hire private security. And entity after entity said they didn't want to get involved. Thursday afternoon, we started hiding valuables and securing the house, and just the last group of security people, and we're talking, these were special forces guys, told us they couldn't do it and we should just walk away from the house and abandon it. We just said we weren't going to do that.
That was Mr. McCloskey, and that's just part of the story. So the second group, the second wave did come back of security. They did find someone that would protect them. They were safe, and then guess what happened? The local prosecutor ordered the police to go into their home and confiscate their guns. And now we're hearing that the McCloskeys, there may be a warrant for both of their arrests forthcoming. Now, this is in St. Louis. I want to tell you, this is becoming extremely dangerous. You know that, right? I don't even need to tell you that. And it's coming everywhere. It's breaking out everywhere. You might notice that the news is not covering these riots, these invasions as faithfully. I don't think you probably saw the story about the guy with cerebral palsy or the story of the young girl killed in Indianapolis, of all places, because that doesn't play well, you see. That just doesn't play well. People get upset, and it might have some effect on the election. So they're not showing you that, but it's still taking place. And I want to remind you that President Trump has said so clearly that he's going to bring order to those streets. It's going to be law and order. He's going to do whatever he has to do. Meanwhile, Joe Biden has indicated his willingness to defund the police. Now, the way he says it is that we can direct the funding, kind of like Bill de Blasio in New York is directing the funding to youth programs and other programs, redirect the funding from the police departments, really? And so that, you know, that's the lay of the land right now. I wanted to make that clear to you. I want to change to something else. We have a full show. Can you tell? So I have a lot of things I want to tell you. I want to talk to you about COVID, because you're hearing it everywhere, right? It's, you know, the world is going to end as we know it because there are so many coronavirus outbreaks. Fox is the worst. And I don't have time to, you know, spell it out, but you can see, excuse me, you can see if you're watching the news, you can see what they're saying. I want to give you a couple of pieces of information here. For instance, the mayor of Phoenix went on MSNBC last Friday, and she's closing restaurants, closing bars, and she's saying that they're going to have to get refrigerator trucks because the healthcare system is running out of morgue beds. Oh, turns out, though, gee, that's not true. It's not true. And the health officials actually under her went public and said that's just not true. We have adequate morgue space. Why would she lie about that? Well, maybe because Governor Doug Ducey he's had a special, you know, his own COVID-19 response. And there is a war there against the Democrats and Republicans in power. There's an election coming up, and they're trying to make sure that Martha McSally, who is very close in the race, does not win. Then also we have this NBC contributor, a doctor, Dr. Joseph Fair, who on the air over and over claimed that he had gotten COVID-19. They showed him in the hospital. He said it was the worst he'd ever been. It was the worst 23 to 24 hours of his life, on and on and on. Turns out that wasn't true. I'm telling you, okay, so then we've got Gavin Newsom ordering, you know, all these business shutdowns in California. And I want you to know now they've had 6,000 deaths. I figured that out this morning. That's 6,000 deaths out of 40 million people in California. That's the chance of dying in California from COVID are 0.00015. Florida is so bad. Let me just tell you that they had about 70,000 new cases. They have a grand total of 130 new patients in ICU beds, and not necessarily for COVID. So it's just amazing how we're being lied to. Please don't fall for these lies. Sandy Rios.
folks, I know what you think. I want to be able to get my money. I'm not giving my money to anybody. I'm not giving it to the church, not giving it to the ministry. I'm hoarding it, I'm keeping it, I'm going to build. And when it gets so big, I'll build another silo, and I'll build another silo after that. And I'm just going to keep growing it, because when I retire, I'm going to have more money and I know what to do with. But look, it's important that you consider permanent income. The key word is charitable gift annuity. You notice I don't say charitable annuity. I never leave the word gift out. It's a gift.
A knowledgeable AFA Foundation representative will gladly explain the nuances of charitable gift annuities and answer your questions. Find out about charitable gift annuities when you call 800-326-4543, extension 345. 800-326-4543, extension 345. Or by visiting afafoundation.net.
This is Pause to Pray, a chance to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today, we pray for General James McConville, Chief of Staff for the U.S. Army. General McConville has served our country for nearly 40 years and is a current member of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Psalm 78:72 reminds us of the qualities of a good leader. So he shepherded them accordingly to the integrity of his heart and guided them with his skillful hands. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask you to guide General McConville as he continues to lead the U.S. Army and serve our country. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team, a nonprofit, nonpartisan ministry dedicated to encouraging prayer for our nation's leaders. To learn more, go to pausetopray.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
These challenging times have shown a college degree is more important than ever. But if the loss of Virginia's tuition assistance grant for certain new online students is holding you back, Liberty University is here to help. We're stepping in to replace your lost VTAG funds with our LU Tag Award and combining it with a $3,600 undergraduate transfer student scholarship or our already low first responder and military discounts to save you up to 60% on your degree. We've got this, Virginia. Learn more by texting LU Tag to 49595. That's LU Tag to 49595.
Early on, the medical experts told us we should not wear masks, that wearing a mask would not stop the spread of the virus, that it could cause even more health issues. But now, the medical experts are telling us the exact opposite. Beyond that, the face mask has now become something of a political wedge issue. It's a mess out there. The country is frustrated. People are being publicly shamed on social media, workers being bullied. So look, here's my philosophy on this, folks. If a business requires you to wear a face mask, you have two options. Either put on a mask or go shop somewhere else. There's no need to pitch a fit, no need to scream at a cashier. At the same time, this idea of Americans wearing mandatory face coverings is at its face un-American. It's something one would expect in Saudi Arabia, not the U.S. of A. I'm Todd Starnes.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
You know, it's interesting as we watch all of this upheaval, I guess that's the kindest word I can think about it, in our streets, and we see people stealing, destroying people's businesses and livelihoods. We have different perspectives, I think, don't we? We kind of, most of us, we think, well, that's terrible, because those people with businesses, black, white, and anything in between, have worked hard. And just part of us within us says, this is just wrong. This is just wrong. People should not steal other people's properties. But that's not the view of the left. So Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, when asked about the things we're seeing on the street, had this very salient observation. Let's listen.
Maybe this has to do with the fact that people aren't paying their rent and are scared to pay their rent. And so they go out and they need to feed their child and they don't have money. So you maybe have to, they're put in a position where they feel like they either need to shoplift some bread or go hungry that night.
Yeah, so see, it's really just all that we see in the streets are just people that are having trouble paying their rent, and the reason they're rioting and burning down Wendy's and all of that is just that they're trying to feed their poor children. And so according to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, well, Nonsense, of course, nonsense. But that is really what the left and what communism is all about. It's something that many of us that are older grew up knowing. We lived during the Cold War. We used to hide under our desks when there were air raid, when we thought there might be some sort of danger. We saw Khrushchev take off his shoe and shout, "We will bury you," at the United Nations. We understood that the Soviets and that Russia, that which was the manifestation of communism at the time, along with Cuba, was filled with lies and perverse thinking. But it's time to revisit all of it, because somehow we forgot. And our children now think it's just wonderful to be a socialist slash communist. I've asked Paul Kinger to join us this morning. Paul is a professor at Grove City College in Grove City, Pennsylvania. He also is the executive director of the Center for Vision and Values. He's written so many great books, and which I think I've interviewed him on almost all of them. Several on Ronald Reagan, God and Ronald Reagan, God and George W. Bush. He wrote one about the Pope and President Reagan. He's just a great writer and a great speaker, and he is an expert on Marxism and communism. He teaches courses on that blatantly at Grove City, and so the students at Grove City are most fortunate, because they are not innocent about what's happening in this world. Paul Kinger, thanks for joining us this morning.
Hey, Sandy, it's great to be with you again. Thanks.
It's great to have you always. I'd be curious, Paul, because of your knowledge. Well, one thing that occurs to me, a few years ago, maybe even a year ago, if you and I had talked, you were very openly speaking about communism, but most people, like me on radio, it's like I have to find other words, even though I identify the ideology, because you were discredited or you were somehow, not quite smart if you use the word communism. I find us becoming more bold to use that. Is that what you're seeing?
Oh yeah, and this whole statue movement, this is unbelievable stuff. And what you were just saying there, Sandy, with AOC. I mean, that I've been seeing that in my email box. I wrote a piece about 3 weeks ago now on the tearing down of statues of Junipero Serra, who was the 18th century Spanish Franciscan missionary, who was one of the founders of California, and they're tearing down statues to him. He founded those mission churches. He brought Christianity to the West Coast, and I mean they've torn him down from San Francisco, which was a Golden State Park, right next to a statue of Ulysses S. Grant, of all things, Sandy. Right? I mean, come on. The guy. I thought we were after Confederate generals. Now we're after the guy who defeated Confederate generals. And then they decapitated Sarah at the Santa Barbara mission, and then they went down to Los Angeles. By the way, one of his mission churches in San Miguel burned down over the weekend. They're investigating that. They're trying to find out who's responsible, if it's an accident, if it's arson. And I used to go to Ventura, California, every other year when I would go to the Reagan Library to do research, and I used to pass the Sarah statue there in Ventura. They're pulling that down. In Sacramento, about 2 weeks ago, they pulled it down. They were chanting. They were stomping. They were blowtorching us. It's unbelievable. But I wrote an article on this, and I was going through the reader comments, and one pastor wrote, he said, "Well, we need to listen. We need to listen, right?" And you could just picture people like this, Sandy. I mean, there they were in the French Revolution, right? While the mob is hopping up and down and screaming and chanting, are the pastors or are religious people still going to be kind of scratching their heads going, we need to listen here. Are you done listening yet, Reverend? Right? At what point do you stop listening and just stop it? And I had over the weekend a colleague of mine, an academic, and I was complaining about the statues, and this guy's pro Black Lives Matter, and he said, "Well, we can't let these statue people tar a whole movement." And I said, "Well, here we are, my friend, in Pennsylvania, and you are an academic historian, and do you know they're in Gettysburg right now?" And he said, "Oh, I doubt that this is Black Lives Matter." And so I took like a minute and a half, typed in Google, Black Lives Matter, Gettysburg, and sent him a clip of the news channel in Gettysburg, headline, Black Lives Matter comes to Gettysburg, and I sent it to him. You know what his response was, Sandy, right? No response. And so what he's going to do about that, his reaction isn't going to be to say, oh, well, okay, all right, this has gone too far. I better step up and criticize this. His reaction will be silence. And for people like me and you that speak up and criticize this, we'll be the bad guys, right? We'll be portrayed as the kind of alt-right neo-Confederates, right? You know, and this is what happens when even people on our side, you know, call them social justice warriors, call them woke Christians, whatever, when they don't speak up, I got news for you, folks. They're going to come for you. They're going to come for your statues too. They're going to come for your heroes, and in some cases, yeah, they're probably going to come for your churches, because with the far left, the extreme left, and to bring this back to communism, they've always done that. They've always done that.
You know, I just heard that whole lack of knowledge about who Black Lives Matter is stuns me. I heard Sandra Smith this morning doing an interview with, no, she didn't interview him this morning, I heard the clip this morning, with Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick. I don't know if you saw that, but he was furious about all of the police killings, just impassioned. And I feel the same way. You know, we had another death last night. It's just sickening. It's stomach churning. And so he launched in on the numbers, and she is, meanwhile, to him, trying to talk over him to defend Black Lives Matter. Well, that's not Black Lives Matter. That's not. And he's saying, read the manifesto. Read the manifesto. Right. Yeah, so that reminds me, that makes me think of your professor friend. Is he really Paul, does he really not... Is he really ignorant of the fact that Black Lives Matter is not about black lives? Can he be that smart and that dumb at the same time?
Yes, because it's a perfect example, to quote my colleague Dan Flynn at the American Spectator. He wrote a book called Intellectual Morons, and the whole thesis was how ideology can make you stupid. And you see with people on the left in particular, they're so tied to their ideology that they can't rationally kind of think their way through certain situations. And so I've been through this. I've sent to people, I have it right in front of me. This is Patrice Cullors. She's one of the founders of Black Lives Matter, yes, with Alicia Garza.
Yes.
And you've seen it, Sandy, right? And mm-hmm. it's the little video clip where she says, and you can find this everywhere. All you gotta do is just type this in. Quote, "We actually do have an ideological frame. Myself and Alicia in particular are trained organizers. We are trained Marxists. We are super versed on sort of ideological theories." I'm telling you, Sandy, if you send that quote and that video to people on the left, they will get angry at you. They won't say, "Ooh, oh, wow, okay. Oh, well, gee, I didn't realize that. Well, let me step back. Okay, that's bad." No, they won't do that because of their ideology. So they will instead lash out at you. they won't reevaluate. And if you said to them the about section of the Black Lives Matter page, let's see, I have it here. We quote.
Well, read it while you still can.
Yeah, right. That's right. Take a screenshot of it.
Yeah. That's right. That's right.
Yeah, yeah. We seek to, quote, "disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family structure," unquote. Well, what does that have to do with George Floyd, right? And, you know, this same section, what we believe, they use the word trans four times, queer once, heteronormative, comrades twice. They use that twice. And so if you point this out to people on the left, they just get angry at you. And in fact, that right there, you would think, okay, I've had this, right? You send them the video of Patrice Cullors, they'll say, "Oh, that happened. Oh, that interview was like 30 years ago." No, it was like 2 or 3 years ago. It's what they believe. So you send them, okay, well, here's what their current website says, right? And even then, it's not going to convince them, because they're emotionally and ideologically attached to this. And this is a problem with liberalism, is that you can't break through. If you say to them, Black Lives Matter, okay, what about unborn Black Lives Matter? Sandy, you and I, for years, we've been talking about what Margaret Sanger did, what Planned Parenthood has done, the abortion rate among the black community. And yet Black Lives Matter is officially pro-choice. They support Planned Parenthood. You point this out, I'd have more respect for Black Lives Matter if they would go against Planned Parenthood. They won't. And if you run into, like, kind of pro-life religious left Christians and say, why don't you push Black Lives Matter to be pro-choice? Well, I don't know. I don't think we need. We just need to support Black Lives Matter. It just drives you crazy.
Yeah, no, Paul, I have a theory. I'm sure this will be controversial because most of what I say is, I think that people that are that dug in on this are actually, okay, I suspect, let's just put it this way, I suspect that they, in their hearts, they have been never comfortable with black friends or black people, and maybe in their own hearts they've been racist, and this is kind of their, this is their, like, atonement, and they don't have discernment because they don't have friendships and relationships in the black community, so they... I think it's kind of like their way of atoning, and it's not rational, and they can't distinguish because they don't have relationships, again, in the black community between black Americans who are just like us and Christians, black Christians who are just like us, and people who hate God and hate order and want to upend this country. It's all about race to them, and they're trying to sort of make up for lost time. That's my personal theory.
I think that's true. Yeah. I think that I find that to be very true. And, you know, when I say that, you know, me and my black friends, we don't sit around and obsess about this stuff. We'll just, you know, we'll go out and have a beer. Yeah. We'll, you know, we'll sit down and, you know, me and my friend Lenny McAllister watch the Steeler game, right? And you point this stuff out, and they say, oh, you have black friends, right? You know, like, totally. And a lot of times you find out that these are, you're talking to people who are kind of, you know, raised wealthy white liberals.
Yes.
Who really don't have black friends.
Yes.
And they resent it when you point this out. I recently got smeared for using white nationalist rhetoric was the claim, because I wrote a piece on cultural Marxism of all things. it had nothing to do even with black issues. But I have a black son. I have an adopted black son, right? So.
Oh, but you're still a racist, Paul. You are still right. A racist by their definition. You know, so is, I'm sorry, I'm not, I just blew my own sort of funny thing. What's the, Candace Owens, she's a racist too.
Yes.
Anyway, but I'm
right,
sorry,
right.
I got you off track.
It's what they do. Yeah, it's simply what they, I found this too with researching Karl Marx, maybe kind of a parallel here. Where you know, Marx and the communists, they talk about capitalists and their obsession with money. Actually, if you go read Marx and the Marxists, they are obsessed with money. They are absolutely obsessed with money. All they can think about is money and class and property. They wake up in the morning and think about it and brood about it all day long. And so they're kind of like imposing, and it's also with these accusations of hate, right? You'll be debating one of these people, and they're sitting there screaming at you, almost foaming at the mouth, "You hater!"
Yeah.
And you're standing there almost smiling. You're like, honestly, I don't feel any anger right now at all. You're hating.
Yes.
They kind of impose on you whatever they're guilty of.
What they're feeling, exactly.
Yeah,
totally,
and I
totally.
I think they do that with race. I think they
I know they do that with race because I've been the recipient myself. But you know what? I don't take offense because there's no truth to it, and so I don't like try to defend myself because proof is in the pudding. The proof is in the pudding, for heaven's sake. It's the way I live. My husband and I used to laugh about a lot of wealthy elitists. Thinking that they were so, at the time we didn't use the term woke, but about race. And Bruce and I would say, you know, we live in a black neighborhood in Chicago. You know, this is where we choose to be. And that they want to tell us that we don't know anything about this and they have all the answers up in Minnesota, very white Minnesota and other white bread places. They have thoughts about it. They have theories about it, but they have no experience and they don't understand and they don't even take the time to build real relationships because they think of people in colors as opposed to just as people. Oh, Paul, I'm sorry, I'm talking more than you, and I want to hear you. So can you stay with me just a little bit more?
Absolutely, happy to. Thank you.
Okay, I want to talk about now what you are seeing in the country. You are familiar with all of these Marxist movements throughout the centuries. Where do you see similarities and in what areas? Sandy Rios in the Morning on AFR Talk.
Hello, I'm Franklin Graham. Right now, our country is in trouble, and people are scared, people are afraid, and we see the violence and the injustices that are taking place. Only God can change this. This is a problem of the human heart.
If you'd like to pray with someone, call us any time of the day or night at 888-388-2683. 888-388-2683.
Call that number right now. We've got someone who will pray with you, talk with you, encourage you. God bless.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way, the Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
Blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scoffers. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. One word has proven to be debilitating in our society, the D word, discrimination. What we fail to realize is discrimination is not automatically a dirty concept. We discriminate against thieves and murderers when we send them to prison. We discriminate against sexual predators by keeping them away from children. And yes, we rightly discriminate against men when we keep them out of women's restrooms. According to Psalm 1, we have to discriminate against the counsel of the wicked in order to be blessed. Good thing God isn't debilitated by the D word.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Government's main job, according to Romans 13, is protecting the life and property of its citizens. Brian Fisher here with the Life and Liberty Minute. The mayor of Minneapolis pulled his police force back as riots started after the death of George Floyd. By the time the rioters were done, 1,500 buildings had been damaged and $500 million of damage had been done. The governor of Minnesota begged President Trump for millions to repair the destruction, but the president rejected the request. The government of Minneapolis had failed in its God-ordained mission, and the president refused to ask the rest of the country to bail them out. These failures by city governments have occurred with disturbing frequency in cities run by Democrats for decades. We all get the government we vote for, and Minnesota is finding out that that can be an expensive affair.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. By some estimates, as many as 400 million Chinese live downstream from the vast but incompetently engineered Three Gorges Dam, now at the brink of collapse. State-controlled media acknowledge that nearly 40 million of those at risk have already been relocated. Many more, though, are already suffering acutely, as other dams above and below the Three Gorges one have begun to fail, or at least been allowed to cause widespread flooding in fully half of China's 50 provinces. When, not if, the Three Gorges Dam comes apart, generous nations of the West will predictably rush to provide humanitarian assistance to the survivors. Such help must not, however, be channeled through the Chinese Communist Party, or otherwise provided the legitimacy or life support that the CCP, if it survives, will inevitably use to continue and even intensify the threat it poses to us. This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
How do you respond to those kinds of, again, loving criticisms?
I think that the criticism is helpful. I also think that it might... I think of a lot of things. The first thing I think is that we actually do have an ideological frame. Myself and Alicia in particular are trained organizers. We are trained Marxists. We are super versed on sort of ideological theories.
Patrice Culler is one of the founders of Black Lives Matter. That's the clip that Paul was talking about earlier, where she confesses that they are Marxists in Black Lives Matter. They spell it out in their manifesto, but, you know, some people are a little dull to catch. And so we just want to preach it, shout it from the housetop so you understand what's happening here. Paul Kinger is my guest, and Paul is an expert on Marxism. By the way, he's just written it. We're not talking about this book today because it comes out August the 18th, but we will soon. As soon as it comes out, he's just written The Devil and Karl Marx, which should be fascinating. And, of course, he doesn't preach. He's a professor. Maybe he preaches sometimes.
Kind of a preacher.
Yeah, exactly. In Grove City, he teaches his students about Marxism. I'm curious, just at one little kind of small thing first. When she says that we are trained organizers, and of course we know Barack Obama, that was what he was too, a community organizer. What does that mean to the communist ears? Does it have a particular meaning, Paul?
Yeah, so this is very important. I'm glad you asked that, because you might get some liberals who say, okay, all right, so they say they're a trained Marxist, but that doesn't matter, right? No, it's very, 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 very important. By the way, I tell people all the time, if you want to support a group that supports African-Americans, you know, against what happened to George Floyd and so forth, I mean, there's a million ways to do that other than joining Black Lives Matter. I mean, the NAACP has been around for 100 years. And by the way, the NAACP, which is very liberal, right? But you know, but 100 years ago, they were fighting communists, especially when the NAACP was run by almost exclusively Black Republicans in that era. But on the Marxist point, the close of the Communist Manifesto, Marx and Engels, they write, quote, "Communists everywhere support every revolutionary movement against the existing social and political order of things." So I'll repeat that. "Communists everywhere support every revolutionary movement against the existing social and political order of things." And they finish the Communist Manifesto by writing, "They openly declare that their ends can be attained only by the forcible overthrow of all existing social conditions," unquote. So when you look at a lot of these movements right now, Sandy, and what started with, you know, in Minneapolis protesting George Floyd, and then 3 weeks later they're tearing down a statue of Columbus in Minneapolis, and you think, well, what does Columbus have to do with this, right? What does Junipero Serra have to do? What does Frederick Douglass have to do? They tore down Frederick Douglass in Rochester last week. What do Washington and Jefferson have to do with this? What does Lincoln have to do? You know, all of this is about tearing down the existing social and political order, right? This is about the forcible overthrow of all existing social conditions. And also, too, when Patrice Culler says we are super versed on ideological theories, she's talking there as well about critical theory, probably critical race theory. I don't know, because I didn't hear the rest of... I'd really like to see your interview and press on this, but the left is not going to ask. Probably gender theory as well. So, you know, all of those theories fall kind of under the banner of, you know, here I go, I got to use the phrase...
Cultural Marxism.
Right. which is simply, you know, Marxism applied to culture. That's all that it is. I wrote an article on this for American Spectator called "Cultural Marxism and Its Conspirators." If you Google cultural Marxism right now, the phrase that'll come up is an anti-Semitic conspiracy theory, which is insane. That is absolute lunacy that's how it would be described. I mean, there are sexual Marxists, there are Freudian Marxists, Antonio Gramsci, Theodore Adorno, Max Horkheimer, Herbert Marcuse, all these guys, George Lukacs, they were applying Marxism to culture. If you don't like the word cultural Marxism, then call it Marxist working in culture. How about that? Is that better? They've been, and Black Lives Matter too. Patrice Cullors, that's actually what they do. She's really applying her Marxism, not to economics and class and redistribution of wealth. She's applying it more culturally, and that's why this matters. There's 100 different types of Marxists. Wilhelm Reich was a sexual Marxist who was trying to fuse Freudianism and Marxism. Wilhelm Reich literally wrote the book and coined the term. The book was called The Sexual Revolution. So you have Marxists operating on all sorts of different fronts, and Patrice Cullors, she's operating on a different front, and it's important that we understand these movements, these ideologies, and the variations in them, just like there are economic conservatives, foreign policy conservatives, cultural conservatives, social conservatives, right? The same is true with different brands of Marxists as well. There's many different types.
Well, I want to say, I would make this short, but in Wikipedia, I did read your article this morning, loved it. I always like what you read, what you write, Paul. But you wrote about, you use the term cultural Marxism all the time, and now Wikipedia has decided to change the definition and make it racist and anti-Semitic. And so then you actually got tripped up with that by an alumni, which, thank goodness, it seems like that kind of died down, but it's very dangerous right now. The information, the control of information, and the skewing of our minds, and the disinformation. That always sounds like a Soviet term to me. Disinformation.
Right. It is a Soviet term. Desinformatsiya is the Russian, and they specialized in fomenting and creating disinformation. They actually had a bureau that did exactly that. And Vladimir Lenin said, the only morality that we recognize is that which furthers class interests. So, as Ronald Reagan said, that's why they're willing to cheat, to lie, to steal. But with cultural Marxism, I mean, in my course at Grove City College, where I teach Marxism, we go through all the stuff. We read the manifesto, we read everything. And this happened in the spring semester of 2019. We pulled up the big screen inside the classroom, and I typed in the word cultural Marxism in Google, and what popped up was a little box definition that said conspiracy theory, anti-Semitic conspiracy theory. And Sandy, I almost fell over. I couldn't believe it. I thought, where did this come from? Who wrote this? Who did this? And I sighed and I groaned, because I said to my students, they said, I've been reading about this and writing about it for 20 years, and I don't know who did this and how long this is gonna remain up here, but this is gonna get me. And it even said this conspiracy theory is linked with alt-right white nationalist groups and the neo-reactionary movement. And I thought, who wrote this? A junior high school student? And that was April 2019, and then in June 2020, an alumnus, a liberal alumnus of Grove City College, who read a piece that I wrote on cultural Marxism, and Googled the term, and said, "Oh, it's a white nationalist conspiracy theory," and started a petition and wrote a letter to the president of Grove City College and the board of trustees accusing me of white nationalist rhetoric, citing that article. And I saw that and I thought, well, there you go. It took a year, and I've been emailing Sandy, I won't say who this guy is, but a very well-known conservative right now who's writing a book who's dealing with this topic, and I said, I hope you haven't gone to press yet. But I want you to be very careful. You need to acknowledge this, because you're gonna get hit with this charge. You need to deal with this in your book. If you write about this now, you're gonna get accused of anti-Semitism and white nationalism. He's like, oh, this is absurd. I said, I know, but Google now defines knowledge, and they control 90% of people in corporate America who use search engines use Google. And so this is like now the arbiter of truth and public perception. And it's a shame, and it sticks. I don't know what you do about it. You could try to defend yourself publicly, but there's not a lot you could do against this behemoth, this information technology behemoth like Google.
You know, it does remind me so much. Again, I will allude back to my opening when we started talking about the ridiculous things that were said and done, the propaganda, the nonsense, like that I actually, heard and read about in Soviet Union. And, of course, later I had the privilege, I guess you would say, of living in East Berlin when the wall was still there. And I've been to Russia before it was the Soviet Union broke up, and North Korea. I've had a lot of experiences now actually seeing communism firsthand, and one of the things is it's always ridiculous. It's always foolish. It's stupid stuff. It's not intellectual heft that drives control of people. It's always ignorant things like this that under any other circumstance at any other time and place would be laughable. But now we have to take their ridiculousness seriously. So yeah. I guess you better than I would know examples like of ridiculous things that actually cause people to die in past communist movements like that. Does it bring to mind anything out of any the Cultural Revolution, the Russian Revolution, or Cuba, any place where lies were used to destroy?
Oh, yeah, all of this. In fact, I saw that a friend sent me, Daniel Hannan, the Brit, sent out a tweet or something about growing up in China and the Cultural Revolution, and his mom talking about this exact same thing. They were tearing down statues, the mob were in the streets, and older folks who realized how bad and how scary it was, they said nothing. They didn't do anything. They just let this go. It reminds me very much of the Jacobins in revolutionary France. And for people who think that's overdone, one of the most popular magazines by the left right now is called The Jacobin. And when I saw that, Sandy, that the left had a magazine called The Jacobin, I was sick to my stomach. And I've watched it over there. They think it's cute. They think it's trendy. And they even have little memes and T-shirts that says The Jacobin, and they've got a little guillotine on it, right? Like, oh, yuck, yuck, yuck. And of course, the Jacobins in revolutionary France from 1793 to 1794 beheaded 40,000 people. They dropped a guillotine on 40,000 people. But the Jacobins, they began, and okay, liberals, listen to the show. I'm not saying that you're going to go out in the street and guillotine 40,000 people. It's crazy, Sandy. We have to issue all these caveats, right?
Yes.
But the Jacobins in France, they started by tearing down statues, going into churches, renaming things. They attacked the Anno Domini calendar, which the left in America has already done. They're no longer using BC and AD. They're using BCE and before current era and current era, CE. The Jacobins renamed the year 1794 the year zero to try to get rid of the Christian calendar. They were changing saint names. By the way, they went after St. Louis, which they're doing here in the United States. They're even trying to change the name of St. Louis. But this, and somebody put it, did you see that Fox News reported this? I don't think it's fake news. I don't think it was made up. Somebody put a guillotine, a model guillotine on somebody's lawn.
I did not see that. Well, and I think the point, our revolution was very different. There's also a comparison with the French revolutionaries,
right.
But that was a very negative, horrible, nasty thing that they did to their leaders. Paul, we're out of time. Let me just say, we're going to put this article for The Cultural Marxism and Its Conspirators. Excellent tutorial on what's happening here and help you to understand what's happening with that anti-Semitic term, culture Marxism. No, that's not what the article is about, but it's about actual cultural Marxism and its conspirators. It's fascinating. Paul, thank you, and I look forward to talking to you again when your new book, The Devil and Karl Marx, comes out. Thank you so much. We appreciate your time so much. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.